Yeah, listening to Sylvester here on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. Today we're going to bring you some sad news, and we're going to be talking with somebody about this sad news. And before we go there, let's play our introduction. This is KUCI with Dan Sung.
When your icebox is bare, eat the ranch. Show your stomach you can, eat the ranch. Pull the rich ass of a flower, I think it's a shame. Swelling out the problem, but we know who's to blame. And I'm tired of being manipulated, rest of the game. Eat the ranch. Yum, yum, yeah, eat the ranch. Yum, yum, yeah. Chemicals in your food. Eat the ranch.
Yum, yum, yeah.
Now don't you think that that's rude? It's gone. Eat the ranch.
Yum, yum, yeah.
Oh, the bitch has the flower. I think it's a shame. Spreading out the problem, but we know who's to blame. And I'm tired of living in the night. Rest of the game. Eat the ranch.
Yum, yum,
yeah, eat the ranch.
Yum, yum,
yum, yum, yeah. You got the poverty blues. Eat the ranch.
Yum, yum, yeah.
You ain't got nothing to lose, so go on, eat the ranch.
Yum, yum, yeah.
Oh, the rich has the power, I think it's a shame. Spelling out the problem, but we know who's to blame. And I'm tired of living in the light. Rest of the game, eat the ranch.
Yum,
yum, yeah, eat the ranch.
Yum,
yum, yeah. This is the part of the song I like a lot, because we get to look at the menu. It sure looks delicious. Makes my mouth just water. It says here, the melons are always in season. They got Gettys and meatballs.
Gettys and meatballs.
I said Gettys and meatballs.
Gettys and meatballs.
Some folks, what they like are oysters Rockefeller.
Oysters Rockefeller.
But not me. I like to watch TV and eat Hearst Packers on high.
This is Dan Sung with Sylvester here today on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. Today we will be talking about the death of Hong Kong actor and Canto pop star, former Canto pop star, Leslie Cheung. He committed suicide today in Hong Kong, jumped out of a hotel room. We'll be talking later in the show with a film scholar based in Vancouver, and we'll get to that part of the program shortly. Leslie was an actor who played gay roles in the screen and brought to the screen a gay and queer sensibility where more than anybody else in Hong Kong. And we mourn his passing. We also mourn the passing of thousands of, hundreds of people in Iraq because of the U.S. invasion. And we want to dedicate this show to two American heroes this week. Peter Arnett, who spoke the truth about what's happening in Iraq and is now speaking the truth through the Daily Mirror after he was fired by MSNBC and NBC TV. And Private Corporal, a Lance Corporal, a Marine Lance Corporal who's part Filipino from California, Lance Corporal Stephen Funk, who turned himself in to the military in San Jose today after realizing that they had never told him when he signed up for the Marines that their mission was to kill, and his conscience does not allow him to participate in war, in death, in killing. So he's a conscientious objector. He went AWOL and he's turned himself in to the U.S. military this morning at San Jose. So we dedicate the show to Peter Arnett and to Stephen Funk. Later on, we're going to be talking also with airing an interview in which we talk with a film director whose film is playing at the Newport Beach Film Festival coming up. The film festival starts later this week, and this film will be showing on February 10th. And the director is Do Minh Duan, and he's the director of a film called Foul King, about a love story set in a rubbish heap, a rubbish dump in Vietnam. It's a drama. And we were able to talk with him courtesy of Andrew Lay, who's arranging his film to be shown here. And Mr. Director Duan is also, Do Minh Duan is also a visiting fellow at the Joyner, at the William Joyner Center at the University of Massachusetts, Boston, this year. The center has been under attack by right-wing forces in Little Saigon, who amassed a lot of money at a rally back in August last year for a federal lawsuit claiming discrimination, supposedly discrimination against the school for having people from Vietnam as part of their Rockefeller Fellowship Program. There's projects now looking at Vietnamese diaspora in the U.S. And so the folks who are behind this lawsuit believe that the school should not have picked people from Vietnam for this project. And so we'll be talking with director Do Minh Duan about that and about his film, Foul King, which will be showing at the Newport Beach Film Festival coming up. In a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Helen Leung, who's a Hong Kong film scholar who has been studying and writing about Hong Kong films, especially the queer side of it. And we'll be talking to him about the tragic death of Leslie Cheung this day in Hong Kong, where the society has been wracked by the SARS pneumonic epidemic. So another death, but not because of SARS. Police say that he jumped out of a window and left a note saying that it was because of his emotions that he committed suicide. And so we will look at that, look at his life and the films that he was in, Happy Together, Farewell My Concubine, Rouge, lots of films, many of whom, which he played a sensitive young man and often openly a queer one. So we will be looking at his life as we mourn the loss of this great Chinese actor from Hong Kong. Lance Corporal Stephen Funk was interviewed in today's edition of The Guardian from the UK, there's a dispatch from the Associated Press that ran in The Guardian about why he decided to apply for CO status, and he's now turned himself in to see what the military would do to him. When his unit was deployed to Camp Pendleton down here in near Orange County, south of Orange County, he did not show up, and he said it wasn't as well thought out as it should have been. It was about me being depressed and wanting direction in life was why he joined the Marine Corps in the first place. He had been a student at USC. So we dedicate this show also to him as he struggles to find his way outside the military. Let's go to another musical break, and then we'll see if we can get to this interview with Helen Leung.
it is nothing. My age, it means less. The country I come from is a part of the free West. I was taught and brought up there, its laws to abide, and that the land that I live in has God on its side. Oh, the history books tell it, they tell it so well. The cavalry's charged, the Indians fell. The cavalry's charged, the Indians died. For the country was young, with God on its side. First World War, it came and it went. The reason for fighting I never could get, but I learned to accept it with pride. For you don't count the dead. The Second World War, it came to an end. We forgave the Germans, and now we are friends. Though they murdered 6 million, in the ovens they fried. The Germans now to hell, God on their side.
With us on the phone is Helen Leung, who is a scholar in Hong Kong films. Welcome, Helen.
Hi, Dan.
Hi. This is really a sad occasion. What was the impact of Leslie on cinema and also on the Tongzi movement, I guess, in Hong Kong?
I think I even probably first started getting the idea of even studying any sort of queer representations in Hong Kong culture through his films, some of his early films. I think in the early 90s with Farewell My Concubine and also He's a Woman, She's a Man, he made several comedies where, you know, he was very brilliant in a kind of depicting, you know, gender crossings and even kind of flirting with the idea of talking very candidly about sexual orientations in mainstream cinema. That was, I think, really pioneering in that time. And sort of give us, I feel like, you know, he's almost iconic in that way. He was sort of one of the few performers who publicly brought the question of gender and of sexuality from a transgressive point of view into mainstream culture.
Was he the first one to be so open about it?
I always feel like, you know, with Hong Kong media, it's so strange. Is as though, I think because of such a great tabloid culture, it's very difficult to be candid and to kind of stand out as a minority, right? So I feel like maybe Stanley Kwan was probably one of the first one to openly declare one's queer identity. But Leslie sort of did it in a much more... I think in some ways provocative way. So for instance, he would dedicate a song in his concerts in public to his longtime companion, a love song in 1997, which caused such a stir in Hong Kong, right? So he didn't have to come out and say, I'm a gay man, but he can openly dedicate a love song to his boyfriend.
So what was the name of the song? What was the name of the song?
It was a song, a really old song called "The Moon Expresses My Heart" that he sang in the concert the concert series that he did in at the beginning of 97, and it was the final concert of the whole tour, in which he talked about the people that he cared about in his life. He mentioned his mother, and then he mentioned his companion, who's sort of the tabloid news had been just harping on it for years, right? And so it was very courageous to just stand there and sing that song.
Yeah, I looked for his recording studio and I couldn't find any of the stores. They just sell DVDs, not CDs, in the couple of the stores I went by today.
Well, I suppose if people want to hear his song, they could. They would have to go online and turn on some of the Hong Kong radio stations. They were actually playing his songs all day.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, and because it was such a sad climate in Hong Kong as it is, much fear and anxiety about SARS, and with the war raging, so I think the news of his death was sort of like one more thing people had to deal with today.
Yeah, definitely. How about in terms of which movie did you like the best of his movies that he appeared in?
I have to say the most memorable for me was Farewell, My Concubine, because it was, I think, the first time I felt, in the 80s, he was very much, he had this image as a very mainstream popular idol, and I think it was in Farewell, My Concubine that he suddenly re-emerged as a kind of very serious actor who was very willing to take risks and take on roles. So that was sort of the most memorable for me. I loved all of the films he did with Wong Kar-wai, such as Days of Being Wild and Ashes of Time, and of course Happy Together, which came out in 97, was also one of the most brilliant films about gay men, and he had sort of the role of a lifetime, right?
Right. Yeah, it wasn't a very happy situation.
That's true.
But let's actually hear a clip from that movie. Actually, see if we can pick up. 啊，反正你上去都唔得啦，睇下十分钟啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊，咁啊
That's been for me, for I think a lot of Hong Kong people had a lot of resonance because it came out just on the eve of the changeover.
Right, in 97.
In 97, right? So I always feel like the tragedy of that relationship always seems to me to, in some ways, represent a certain sensibility at that time, the kind of alienation and anxiety that everyone feels.
It seems like a doomed, relationship kind of thing. I mean, in terms of, some people think it was, that it could represent doom, the takeover, handover, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually arguing about where they should sleep, and they end up jumping on top of each other.
Yeah. But I like best, and perhaps I like to remember Leslie with, was the concert tour that he did in 2001. It was the Passion Tour, where he really, I think it was very, very transgressive what he did, where he had all his clothes designed by Jean-Paul Gaultier, and he really took on this very transgendered sort of performance. It was roundly criticized in Hong Kong, but worldwide it received a lot of very good critical reviews. But I really feel like at that point he really put a kind of queer aesthetics out there in the mainstream.
Why was it criticized in Hong Kong?
Well, because he took on, I don't know if you've seen any stills or images from that concert.
No, I'm not.
Okay, and it was a very new kind of, he experimented with the drag aesthetic, I think back in 97, in the Across 97 concert tour. But in the Passion Tour, it was very much a kind of, I feel like a transgender aesthetics that he really plays with, combining sort of almost like a transgendered personalities and using it to express, his music and his performance. And I think it wasn't, it was roundly criticized because for the mainstream tabloid media especially, they talked about, oh, why would he want to dress as a woman and yet still half dress as a man, and they, still gossip about, even if you're gay, you don't have to express it in that way. So that was, I think what it also exposes is a part of a certain narrow-mindedness in terms of mass cultural reception.
Right, they want to fit you in a box.
And if it's a kind of queer aesthetic, you know, they would immediately tie it to gossip about one's personal life and put it in such a sort of, you know, tabloid manner. They can't talk about it as aesthetic. There's no kind of critical way of thinking about it, how that performance questions gender, for instance. So it was, I remember, at the last leg of the concert, he actually closed the whole he closed the concert to outside media, so no one, not even the fans, could take pictures, right? So it was almost a defiant act of saying, I'm doing my stuff, and if you don't like it, so be it. And so I've always really appreciated that sort of stance that he had in the mainstream.
Did in the movies, and the roles he played in the movies, was he, I mean, he was pretty versatile, right? I mean, sometimes he would play like more passive or more kind of sensitive person, is that true?
I think so, and I think one of the one comedy that really showcases his ability to shape change and is a comedy called All's Well That Ends Well in '91. Mm-hmm. Where he plays this very, very effeminate guy, very well for most part of the film. He sort of, you know, the joke is that there's this very, very sissy effeminate guy, right? But the comedy in the end kind of has this gender switching plot line. I mean, it's a comedy, so one of the humor is that, you know, through a kind of electricity, you know, he just suddenly switches and he becomes this sort of almost exaggerated sort of macho man. And in that comedy, I feel like already there's this sort of sense of, you know, he can take on any kind of gender characteristics that he wants, right? He can perform gender, which I think was really affected the aesthetic that he expressed much later in his musical career.
I would just be watching Rouge, Stanley Kahn's film, and he plays a part, a role in that. What do you think of that?
Rouge is I think the film that in the 80s, right? It was one of the, I think it came out in the period of where there was a lot of negotiation in Hong Kong with the past and with history and with nostalgia, and that film was very much about that, because it's about the haunting. About a ghost, right, who would come back and for her lover. And I guess maybe in that film, Leslie played the quintessential sort of those aristocratic young man who couldn't, you know, it's a very tragic role, almost anti-heroic, right, because he could not bring himself to die for love.
He's always smoking opium.
That's right, and because he chickened out in the last minute in that film, and that was sort of the tragedy. But I thought it was a very sensitive portrayal,
right.
And it certainly propelled him into sort of the A-list actors in the film industry.
So how did he switch from being a canto pop to being an actor?
Well, I think in Hong Kong, it's so, in the entertainment business, everybody is jack of all trade, right? So, but not everybody is equally talented in all areas. And I think he just sort of went from, you know, if you're a teen idol, you would probably get movie roles, but perhaps nobody really expected this teen idol could become such a great and serious actor.
Right. Do you think, you grew up in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Did he reach, you think, as a pop star, did he reach both genders?
I think so. I always, I remember one friend of mine who went to his last concert, Passion, and just remarking on how pansexual the appeal is. And, you know, you would see this amazing phenomenon of course, a lot of, very large of his fan base would be straight women. But in the concert, you would see amongst all these screaming girls, you would have young boys who would say, "I love you, Leslie," and you know, they might not even be from the gay community, but I think there's this genuine sort of pansexual appeal that he puts out, especially in his stage performance, so that you would have, you know, people from my mother's generation who you know, find him sexy and appealing to the very young, who might have a kind of more awareness of queer aesthetics.
Yeah, he just died, I think, about 8 hours ago in Hong Kong. And just a few minutes ago, about an hour ago, I got a call from a Chinese reporter who was assigned to write about the gay Asian reaction to his passing. And I think the point is, I think there's a danger, I suppose, that people see suicide as kind of the natural course of a gay relationship.
I mean,
the Chinese media,
I mean, that way.
Well, that's what I was trying to argue, that it's not, you know, indicative of any, you know, it could happen to any relationship.
And it could happen to anyone any distressing situation.
Right.
I would rather we remember the achievements that he had in his work, and I feel like from the queer community, we would remember the contributions he made. To queer culture in Hong Kong.
Did he, I know he actually was, I mean, there have been events in Hong Kong about AIDS, I guess, and he's showing up at events, and I don't think he was actually hiding it anymore, if he was at the beginning.
Well, that was actually a real coming out moment. He gave an interview with Time Asia magazine, I think this was maybe a couple of years ago, where he openly declared, he said, well, I'm what you would call a bisexual. And in fact, that was interesting because there was bred a little bit of a controversy within the queer community in Hong Kong. Within hours of that interview, there was, on the discussion board, people discussing, is he really bisexual? Is he not gay? Blah, blah, blah. And what it actually precipitated a very interesting discussion amongst, queer Chinese of the subject of bisexuality. I remember that quite well. I remember joining in the discussion on one of the queer list, email list, discussing that and what is a bisexual identity and why can we not respect, his declaration? Because there was still, I think, a little bit of a biphobic reaction in saying, oh, he couldn't come all the way out, he could only come out as bi. But of course, from a bi perspective, is you have to respect his self-identification. But for sure, he's come out as queer.
Yes, yes, definitely. So do you feel that, how do you think the media is going to take, I just gave you one example, but have you listened to Hong Kong stations today?
I have been reading some of the Chinese language newspapers, and there had not been a lot of reactions yet. I think because the papers for today
they missed it,
was in print before the tragedy happened, and so there was not really a lot of reaction. There was a lot of more official, what to my ear seemed quite cold, coverage of the death, but I think it's because a lot of people were shocked about it. Nobody expected this,
and it's the middle of the night now. It's just going to be morning, I guess.
I mean, part of me, like you, maybe dread the media attention a little bit. Sort of don't have enough confidence that they would be respectful.
Right. And the funeral is going to be just horrendous if there's a public funeral.
Yeah.
And paparazzi who just show up.
So I'm very glad you're doing a segment on your show that could.
Yeah, usually I'm not that quick on the news, but I just was shocked by it, and I wanted to, remember him.
It was last year when Roman Tam died, also another, in a way, another queer icon, although Roman was never, I think, directly out. And it was interesting because in the media there was almost, I remember one queer writer actually write a commentary, after all of the media hype has died out, and saying, they almost want to excise Roman's queer side, so they pick all the songs that were, about hope and about being a just person, being a loyal person. They pick all of those songs without sort of emphasizing the other side of his aesthetic, the very kind of gender bending stuff that he was doing even in the late 70s. And I just wonder, I hope they won't do that to Leslie.
I think I went to a website today, and actually there was an article about his death, and said that it actually had a sentence there that said he had paved the way for Leslie Cheung's kind of queer sensibility.
We can certainly, it's almost, we can trace the genealogy, right, of the development of that kind of aesthetic. But I think one, there was one song that Leslie did in the, I think this must have been two albums ago, where it's called I, or I Am, where I think it is a very, definitely a coming out song, because it talks about, you know, who am I? I am 1 in 10%. And I am special, but I still love who I am. And that was also sort of, he's
kind of hinting at it, or maybe blatantly saying it to it.
Yeah, and I think he had an aversion of not, he didn't have to stand up and say, I am right? But yet at the same time, this, it's certainly living a queer life in public.
Well, I think that in the West, there's this kind of, you know, pushiness about coming out. And I think it's in the East, it's basically, I mean, it's a matter of negotiation with the culture, with your family, with, you know, if you can live a queer life amidst all those other, you know, things that are going on in your life, then why do you need to have to say it?
You know, and I always feel that, you know, the way artists like, queer artists like Leslie or Roman handle the media sometimes feels a bit like how some of us handle our family. So the media is a little bit like our family where, you know, you sort of, like you said, you negotiate, you know, there's probing, there's, you know, speculating. And it's not always just a matter of just declaration of one's identity. It is sort of negotiating how to live your life.
Right, definitely. And he was a master at that.
I think so.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you very much. We have to go to this other interview.
Thank you.
Thank you, Helen. Yeah, I'll keep in touch. Bye-bye. That is Helen Leung, a scholar of Hong Kong films. She was raised in Hong Kong and is now in Canada at Simon Fraser University, talking about the passing today, a few hours ago, of actor Leslie Jung, who came to fame in Farewell My Concubine, I think, in the West, but also in many other films that we have talked about. So goodbye, Leslie. We're going to switch now to an interview with a director whose film is playing at the Newport Beach Film Festival coming up on this showing is going to be on February 10th. Is it April now? April 10th. And it's a film about a love story set in the middle of a rubbish heap. And it's set in Vietnam. And this film director is from Vietnam, but he's currently in the Boston area as part of a Rockefeller Fellowship at the William Joyner Center at the University of Massachusetts in Boston. And we were able to talk to him a few weeks ago. And we're going to go to that interview in a few minutes, right after this, another musical break. This is KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the Regents of the University of California, nor the management of KUCI. This is Dancing with Subversity.
It's Good News Week. Someone's dropped a bomb somewhere, contaminating atmosphere and blackening the sky. It's Good News Week. Someone's found a way to give the rotting dead a will to live, go on and never die. Have you heard the news? What did it say? Who's won that race? What's the weather like today? It's Good News Week. Lots of blood in Asia now. They butchered off the sacred cow. They've got a lot to eat. It's Good News Week. Doctors finding many ways of wrapping brains and metal trays to keep us from the heat. Somewhere contaminating atmosphere and blackening the sky. It's Good News Week. Someone found a way to give the rotting dead a will to live, go on and never die. Have you heard the news? What did it say? Who's won that race? What's the weather like today? What's the weather?
director Duong Quan from Vietnam. We asked him why he did this film, Foul King, and interpreting for us is Andrew Lay.
Sở dĩ tôi làm cái phim Vua Bãi Rác là vì lâu nay cái nỗi ám ảnh về cái cuộc sống của những cái người dưới đáy nó xuyên suốt các cái bộ phim của tôi, và đây là bộ phim thứ 5 tôi làm về cái xã hội Việt Nam cái thời kỳ đổi mới từ năm 87 đến nay. Do đó cái vấn đề những cái người nghèo khổ mà ở bãi rác là những cái vấn đề thường trực ám ảnh của tôi.
I completed this feature, The Foul King, as my fifth feature film because I would like to relate the stories of people live at the bottom of society. And since 1987, this is my fifth feature film.
Ngoài ra tôi muốn nhìn cái xã hội Việt Nam nói chung và cái Hà Nội nói riêng qua cái lăng kính của bãi rác, là vì bãi rác nó thể hiện cái đầu ra của một xã hội, thể hiện cả lịch sử, cả lối sống, cả mức sống, lẫn cả những cái quan hệ giữa người với người trong cái xã hội Việt Nam hôm nay.
I would like to also see the Vietnamese people through the lens of a garbage dump, and specifically Hanoians. And then for the people who are actually living in Vietnam, in the
country,
in the Vietnamese culture.
Is this a critique of the modernization program?
Đây có phải là sự chỉ trích của chương trình đổi mới không?
Của gì?
Chương trình đổi mới.
Một bộ phim thì cái thông điệp của bộ phim của tôi thường là nó đa chiều, chứ nó không một chiều. Nó trình bày cuộc sống theo cái logic nghệ thuật của tôi, thì còn nó mang cái nội dung nào nó còn tùy theo cái góc nhìn của cái người xem.
The depth of my film has multi-layered. And at the same time, it really still depends on how people perceive it. But I have quite a few messages in my movies.
Một từ một góc nào đó thì nó là sự ca ngợi cái tình người của những cái con người dưới đáy. Họ vẫn quyết sống, quyết vươn lên từ những cái chất liệu nó hèn kém nhất. Nhưng mà từ một góc độ nào khác thì cũng có thể nói lên một cái sự mất cân đối giữa cái cuộc sống của thời đổi mới và cái thực trạng nghèo khổ của một lớp người.
From under a certain lens, actually it is a depiction of what human conditions that are living within this garbage site. But definitely all of this people are striving to achieve a better life in a joyous in modernity and fulfillment in their own way.
You depict a wedding at the site, at the dump site. Is that a kind of optimistic look at the future?
Cái thông điệp của cái trường đoạn về cái đám cưới bằng trực thăng ấy, thì nó có nhiều ý nghĩa. Một trong những cái điều mà tôi muốn nói trong cái logic nghệ thuật của phim ấy, là cái con người Việt Nam dù họ ở nghèo khổ đến đâu thì họ cũng rất là, cái khát vọng của họ cũng rất là vô cùng lớn. Họ cũng muốn vươn tới một cái mức sống cao nhất, hay là một cái trình độ nghệ thuật cao, hay là một cái thái độ sống nó hào phóng mà nó ngang cái tầm của những cái xã hội phát triển.
Yeah, the wedding scene in the film addresses the root of the culture, because wherever people are in economic situation, they still always yearn for modernization and deeply especially, you know, in the areas where it is deeply stricken by poverty in the world. Yeah.
Và có thể hôm nay những cái điều đấy nó chỉ là ước mơ, nhưng mà cái khát vọng hiện đại hóa cuộc sống nó xuất phát từ cái nơi thấp nhất thì cũng điều chứng tỏ cũng là một cái tia hy vọng nào đó, bởi vì họ không chối từ những cái đó, mặc dù họ sống hàng ngày với những cái dấu tích của cái cuộc sống cao đấy, họ không được hưởng nó nhưng mà họ vẫn khát vọng nó, họ vẫn vươn tới nó, họ vẫn sống với nó bằng mộng tưởng, thì có nghĩa là hy vọng trong tương lai họ cũng sẽ xây dựng được một cuộc đời như thế nếu như chúng ta biết quan tâm đến họ và biết chăm sóc cho họ nhiều hơn.
Maybe it is only wishes nowadays, but if people actually living at the bottom, they already are exposed to what is luxury and what is modern, no matter how suffered they are, they always try to yearn for better life and improve their situation. And if we take the time to pay more attention to them, we will get to learn quite a few interesting things from this process.
Ngoài ra nó cũng có một cái ý nghĩa rằng cái giấc mơ Mỹ nó khá là phổ quát và nó xâm nhập sâu vào trong ngõ ngách của những xã hội nghèo, kể cả những cái nước của thế giới thứ ba và kể cả những cái tầng lớp thấp nhất của những cái nơi mà nó bần cùng nhất.
So evidently, what we see is the ultimate American dream has found themselves in little alleys and venues in all parts of the globe, including in the countries of the third world countries. Therefore, what we see here is tất cả ngõ ngách này,
ngõ ngách của những cái xã hội nghèo và những cái tầng lớp dưới đây.
And especially those who are actually mostly stricken by poverty will be having these illusions and dreams of what, you know, their life should be about.
Do you worry about the fact that a lot of this is by American corporations going to several countries, like Coca-Cola or Pepsi, and it's just making money for these big corporations?
Anh nói,
anh có nghĩ rằng là có phải những cái giấc mơ này là cái sự ảnh hưởng của những cái công ty đa quốc gia đến những cái nước thứ ba để mà đem những cái sản phẩm của mình để mà gửi tới, thì mình nói về cái rác rưởi đó.
Nó không hẳn là như thế, mà cái ảnh hưởng này nó đến từ rất nhiều con đường, từ truyền thông, từ television, từ phim ảnh, và từ những cái cuộc sống hàng ngày. Sản phẩm nó chỉ là một trong những cái nguồn thôi, còn nguồn chủ yếu là từ truyền thông và từ cái quan hệ quốc tế nó ngày càng mở rộng.
Not entirely so. These influences are not only coming through products of the American culture, but also through different venues, through the media and television programs. So it will always, you know, give a great influence on the way people think. And
how does it affect? I know, as a filmmaker, it's probably hard to show your films or have people see your films when there's so much American film influence now around the world, that American Hollywood blockbusters, people rather see that on DVD, even VCD, DVD, than go see Vietnamese or authentic Vietnamese originated film.
Làm thế nào mà để cho mình có thể đem tác phẩm nhất là điện ảnh Việt Nam đến với khán giả, bởi vì cái sự ảnh hưởng quá rộng lớn của Hollywood, nhất là tất cả những cái khu vực Hollywood lớn thì là được mọi người xem rộng rãi khắp nơi, kể cả trong hệ thống DVD, thì như thế nào để cho một người ta có thể tới mà thưởng thức một cuốn phim Việt Nam?
Cái vấn đề, cái khó khăn của phim Việt Nam chính là ở điểm đó, bởi vì khi mà truyền hình phát triển thì với lại những cái bộ phim dài nhiều tập thì người ta giữ chân khán giả ở nhà, hay là các rạp chiếu thì chiếu nhiều phim Mỹ và phim Hàn Quốc và các phim nước ngoài mua với giá rẻ, vào những cái thời điểm tốt quảng cáo nhiều, trong khi đó với phim Việt Nam thì không được quảng cáo và không dành cho những thời điểm tốt. Và đấy, cái nguyên do chính muốn đưa đến trước hết là phải do những cái người quản lý văn hóa có một cái thái độ tốt hơn đối với điện ảnh, tôn trọng hơn với điện ảnh, chứ không thể mà để cho điện ảnh nó sống dở chết dở một cách như hiện nay.
We see evidently that the efforts made by those who are actually managing the cultural presentations or presenting, you know, should have a greater efforts, because these are the works that are have been worked and done with a lot of care, and so we just have to work harder at this challenge.
How many feature films are made in Vietnam now every year?
Mỗi một năm thì phim truyện chắc hiện nay làm, trước đây thì làm rất nhiều, hàng trăm phim một năm. Nhưng mà càng về sau này thì phim truyện làm càng ít, bởi vì cái nguồn vốn cũng như cái sự thu hồi vốn nó không được bảo đảm bởi một cái cơ chế phát hành. Vì vậy hiện nay phim hàng năm làm chỉ dưới một chục bộ phim do nhà nước tài trợ, với một cái lượng tiền nó chỉ bằng tiền để làm một km đường cao tốc.
There was some time ago that that was about 100 films was made a year, but nowadays it's only less than 10 annually that are supported by the government grants. And with the limited budget equal to only about a kilometer of highway construction.
Do you see competition from people with camcorders? Is there a lot of independent filmmaking now?
Có những nhà sản xuất hay là thực hiện phim độc lập, nhất là về khi mà trong lĩnh vực làm về máy hệ số digital.
Hiện nay thì nhà nước chưa cho ra đời cái hãng phim tư nhân, mà đang trên con đường nghiên cứu để mà cho ra đời. Do đó cái phim điện ảnh nó vẫn bị coi như một cái phương tiện tuyên truyền của nhà nước, mà nhà nước lại đầu tư nhỏ giọt. Do đó những cái nhà sản xuất phim muốn đầu tư vào phim điện ảnh thì phải thông qua những cái nhãn mác của nhà nước. Như thế nó cũng hạn chế phần nào. Tuy nhiên là cũng có rất nhiều người muốn bỏ tiền cho chúng tôi làm phim. Họ đang chờ một cái cơ chế thông thoáng.
With the still there are considerations of formulating private companies, but the government is still considering it's a propaganda tool, so therefore there are still very limited amount of projects that can be done independently. I think, you know, there are people who are standing by willing to invest in films and support us to do more films. They're just waiting for a better environment and opportunity.
Do you want to be a film tổng lập, independent filmmaker?
Anh có là muốn phấn khởi để mà trở thành một nhà phim làm phim độc lập.
Tôi rất muốn điều đó và rất mong điều đó, bởi vì lâu nay tôi nghĩ người mà bây giờ chỉ thực hiện được một, vì tiền, vì đội ngũ, vì cái sự quản lý nó cũng khá là chặt chẽ và bất thất thường. Do đó tôi rất muốn sau này được có một điều kiện làm việc nó như là những cái đồng nghiệp trên thế giới.
Yeah, I have been inspired to work independently and always look out to become in the same standard with my colleagues in the world, and I hope that I'll be able to do that.
You picked the topic of a rubbish dump. Is that like politically correct? Do you think the government likes showing a poor situation, or poor people in a garbage situation? Do you think they rather you do something else with your film?
Dạ, anh đã dùng cái chủ đề là bãi rác. Vậy thì anh có cảm thấy rằng là nhà cầm quyền có những cái ngại ngùng khi mà mình đem lại những cái hình ảnh về một cái xã hội xấu xa hay là ở dưới gọi là bần cùng đó hay không, hay, và cái tác hiệu của nó như thế nào?
Nói chung là lúc đầu thì những cái người quản lý họ cũng rất là ngại, nhất là cái tên phim là Vua Bãi Rác thì cho đến phút chót thì vẫn đề nghị thay, nhưng mà chúng tôi kiên quyết giữ, với lại cộng với lại sự ủng hộ của báo chí thì kiên quyết giữ, thì cuối cùng những cái người lãnh đạo cũng đồng ý. Thì tuy nhiên là qua những hình ảnh rác rưởi nhưng mà những con người sống với nhau nó rất đẹp, do đó là không có cái lý do gì để mà không chấp nhận cả.
Yeah, the Ministry of Culture and the Cinema Department, those management committees did not agree on the title in the beginning, and fearing that it's insinuation of Vietnam is a garbage dump. But I have actually firm, you know, on this name as a writer-director, so they finally agreed, because it really speaks about the beautiful relationships among people living you know, in the garbage dump, and there is no reason that why they shouldn't, you know, give it the name.
So the Vietnamese name is the king of the garbage dump?
Yeah, tên là Vua Bãi Rác. Yes.
Okay. How about in terms of other any script changes in the films? Do they try to change any script?
Nghĩa là buộc mình phải đổi nhiều trong kịch bản không?
Cái kịch bản này tôi đã phải chữa đến 8-9 lần để mà có thể ra được. Bởi vì nói chung là trước đây thì khi mà gặp những cái khó khăn như thế thì chúng tôi phải bị ách tắc, nhưng mà bây giờ chúng tôi đã có một cái kinh nghiệm sáng tác là khi mà những cái người quản lý không đồng ý thì chúng tôi sẽ chữa một cái variant khác. Và cái variant ấy thì nó vẫn giữ được cái ý của mình, mà và người quản lý cũng cảm thấy là yên tâm.
Yeah, the script has been changed 8 or 9 times, and we have actually learned a very valuable lessons in terms of altering the variants that actually fitting onto the way the film is, the script is, you know, being censored and looked at. Yeah.
Nhưng không có nghĩa là cái variant cuối cùng ấy nó kém hơn cái variant đầu tiên, thậm chí có thể nó thú vị hơn và nó cũng gai góc hơn ở nhiều phương diện.
So from many aspects of it, you know, the variants on the final stage could be actually even more interesting and also critical than the, even the first one, because you know, we have actually adopted, you know, different ways how to go about it.
So you think there's a way of getting around it?
Tức là mình cũng có cách thay đổi theo cái chiều hướng mà của khi mà gọi là bị kiểm duyệt không?
Không phải là thay đổi theo chiều hướng bị kiểm duyệt, mà cái chỗ nào mà vấp thì tôi né đi, tôi chuyển theo một cái hướng khác. Cái hướng đó thì không hẳn là cái hướng mà những cái người kiểm duyệt muốn, nhưng mà cũng không thể cứ đòi thay đổi mãi, cho nên thế nào phải có cái vách sông cuối cùng. Cái vách sông đó nó là cái phim đã được ra.
So it's not necessarily, you know, to really avoid censorships, but it's really taking a different directions of how we will obviously alter from the previous one, and take into consideration that there should be a final version, and it should not be changed ultimately always. We will, you know, find ways how to really get that direction to be a more interesting version than the last one.
Have your films been shown on TV in India?
Yeah, phim mình có được chiếu trong truyền hình ở Việt Nam.
Đây là phim chiếu ở rạp, nó có thể sẽ được phát trên truyền hình một vài năm nữa, nhưng mà hiện nay thì chưa. Còn về phim truyền hình thì tôi có làm phim riêng độ khoảng hơn 10 phim truyền hình, thì cũng có những phim tôi làm xong là bị sếp xóa, không phát được, mặc dù đã làm rất là nhiều tiền và đã tuân thủ tất cả mọi cái sự edit của họ, nhưng mà họ cuối cùng họ vẫn không phát vì họ bảo vẫn có một cái gì đấy không thể nào phát sóng được.
These are actually feature films that are, you know, for the theater, but I have done about 10 telemovies, films for television, and some of those are actually never broadcasted, even though they spend a lot of production money. It's just that, you know, they said there is still something that is not settled to be broadcasted in Vietnam.
So, do you think there will be broadcast later?
Sau này mình có thể là những cuốn phim đó có thể là chiếu được trên truyền hình.
Cũng có thể, tôi đã định mang đi để ra để chiếu ở bên này, nhưng mà cũng chưa có điều kiện. Thế hay nghĩ lại là cũng chưa nên làm như vậy. Nhưng mà cái bộ phim thì tôi hy vọng sẽ được chiếu lại, nếu như họ không xóa thì họ quay những cái chuyện vớ vẩn khác.
I have considered to bring it out here to the public overseas, but I, you know, think that it's not the proper timing yet, and I will reconsider in the future to do so.
You're coming from the Falcon. You won an award at Palm Springs. Did you win an award, or was it
Asia Pacific?
Cái phim này thì được giải Best Young Actor ở Liên hoan phim châu Á Thái Bình Dương. Còn ở Palm Springs thì hai cái buổi chiếu cho jury thì không chiếu được là vì phim gửi sang chậm.
Yeah. It's won the Best Young Actor Award in Asia Pacific Film Festival in Seoul, Korea, and then in Palm Springs, we actually have the films delayed for certain scene screening, so there wasn't any award.
That was our interview with Do Minh Doan, who is the director of Phao King, which is going to play at the Newport Beach Film Festival at April 10th. And helping us with the interview interpreting was Andrew Lei. Earlier, we talked with scholar Helen Leung about the death of Leslie Cheung, a Hong Kong actor who jumped from a hotel window a few hours ago. This is Dan Zhang, signing off for Subversity.
Listen to Subversity each Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the latest and provocative interviews with activists behind and beyond the Orange Curtain, only on 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine.
The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily the views of the regents of the Orange Curtain, nor the leadership of KUCI. This is Dan Zhang, signing off. This is KUCI.
Drink, not be out, force by law.